Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Wednesday, May 12, 2021. Coming up this hour,
Colonial Pipeline comes up against a deadline to restart gas and diesel flows.
House Republicans prepare to remove Liz Cheney from her leadership post.
Dozens are dead as violence escalates in the Middle East.
And traders await today's highly anticipated report on inflation.
A judge's decision leaves the NRA vulnerable to being dissolved by New York's Attorney General. Plus, there's another name in the race for governor of New York. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashar in sports. The Knicks lost in overtime to the Lakers. The Nets won in Chicago. The Yankees beat the Rays, and the Mets walked it off on the Orioles.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Nathan Hager, Bloomberg Daybreak, brought to you by BNY Mellon's Pershing. Learn why the world's most sophisticated advisory firms and broker-dealers rely on Pershing to help them improve profitability, create efficiency, attract talent, and manage risk at Pershing.com.
U.S. futures are lower this morning. 6:01 on Wall Street. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 14 points. Dow futures down 106. NASDAQ futures down 74. The DAX in Germany is up a tenth of a percent. 10-year Treasury up 3/32, yield 1.61%. Yield on the two-year, 0.15%. And NYMEX crude oil up 0.6%. Nathan.
Karen, we'll get more on the markets in a minute. First, the latest on the pipeline shutdown. Colonial Pipeline says it'll know by today whether it's safe to restart gasoline and diesel flows. Let's get the latest live from Bloomberg's Renita Young. Renita?
Nathan, fuel shortages are rapidly spreading across the South and the East Coast, and leaders are working to restore service. But the most recent schedule sent to shippers shows that even when the pipeline is fully restored to service, it'll take about 2 weeks for gasoline stored in Houston to reach East Coast fueling stations, and that's traveling at a speed of about 5 miles per hour. For diesel and jet fuel, the transit time is even longer, about 19 days, because they're heavier and move more slowly. In New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Renita, thank you. Later today, the White House holds a bipartisan House member briefing, an update on the Colonial Pipeline cyber attack. Energy Secretary Jennifer Granholm is urging Americans to stay calm.
Let me emphasize that much as there was no cause for, say, hoarding toilet paper at the beginning of the pandemic, there should be no cause for hoarding gasoline, especially in light of the fact that the pipeline should be substantially operational by the end of this week and over the weekend.
Energy Secretary Granholm says she has spoken with governors about fuel shortages.
Meantime, on Capitol Hill, Donald Trump's influence over the Republican Party is growing. House Republicans are set to remove Representative Liz Cheney from her leadership post today. Amy Morris has the latest from our Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
House GOP leader Kevin McCarthy and GOP whip Steve Scalise are publicly supporting Cheney's ouster and her replacement with New York Representative Elise Stefanik, a Trump loyalist. Cheney has not campaigned to keep her job, but she did issue a stark warning from the House floor on Tuesday.
Today we face a threat America has never seen before. Millions of Americans have been misled by the former president as he continues to undermine our democratic process, sowing seeds of doubt about whether democracy really works at all.
Today's vote is set to take place during a private meeting starting at 9 this morning, Wall Street time. In Washington, I'm Amy Morris, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Amy, thanks. We're also getting word of an even bigger rift in the GOP. More than 100 Republicans are threatening to form a third party if the GOP doesn't make certain changes. That's according to the New York Times, which says the Republicans in question plan to release a letter on the matter this week.
Let's turn to the Middle East now, where violence between Israel and Hamas is escalating. Israel unleashed a relentless attack on the Gaza Strip in response to a massive rocket barrage aimed at the country's heartland. So far, at least 43 are dead. Bloomberg's Alyssa Odenheimer has the latest from Jerusalem.
We've had massive rocket fire from Gaza militants aimed at Tel Aviv and other cities in the heart of Israel. Now, it's an important point to note, 200 of the rockets fired from Gaza have hit Gaza itself. So some of the casualties that are being claimed by the Hamas, which rules the Gaza Strip, may have been caused by their own rockets. Israel's Air Force is striking military targets in Gaza, and according to the military spokesman, they're taking great care to try not to hit civilians there. However, many of the targets are purposely positioned within residential areas.
Bloomberg's Alyssa Odenheimer reports at least 850 rockets have been fired, and Israel has carried out about 500 raids.
All right, back here in the U.S., the economy and inflation are front and center. We get the latest reading on the Consumer Price Index at 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time. Economists forecast a year-over-year increase of 3.6%. That would be the highest level in 11 years. We get more from Bloomberg's Michael McKee.
A big jump in the May Consumer Price Index may fuel a nascent tug of war between Wall Street traders and the Federal Reserve. Market jitters about inflation don't extend to the Fed. Policymakers will discount a surge in the April CPI, blaming short-term bottlenecks as the economy reopens and base effects. Prices fell so much in April 2020 that this year's rise will be amplified. Economists will scour the underlying mix of price changes to see whether there are broad-based price pressures or simply a series of idiosyncratic moves. Michael McKee, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Michael, thank you. Turning to Europe now, it looks like the UK economy gained momentum toward the end of the latest lockdown. We get the story from Bloomberg's Ewan Potts in London. Good morning, Ewan.
Good morning, Karen and Nathan. GDP gained a stronger than expected 2.1% in March. The rise in UK output comes as the country finally gears up for further lifting of coronavirus restrictions. The pickup sets the stage for a rapid recovery from the deepest slump in 300 years. Surveys suggest UK companies are stepping up investment and households are starting to spend savings accumulated during the pandemic. In London, I'm Ewan Potts, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Ewan. Now, some other items we're watching this morning. The U.S. has agreed to remove China's Xiaomi from the former Trump administration's blacklist. It would have restricted American investment in the smartphone maker. Xiaomi had sued the U.S. government over the matter.
U.S. relations with Mexico also in focus today. The White House is asking Mexico to review alleged denial of workers' rights at a General Motors plant in the country. It's the first time Washington is initiating a labor dispute under its new trade agreement with Mexico. Again, futures are moving lower this morning. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. This is Bloomberg.
At 6:07 on Wall Street, we bring in Michael Barr for a look at what's going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. The National Rifle Association's bankruptcy filing was rejected by a Texas judge. The judge dismissed the Chapter 11 case and halted a proposal to reincorporate the New York-based association in Texas. New York officials claim the filing was a bad faith effort to use the protections of bankruptcy to avoid its lawsuit. Loyola law professor Lori Levinson.
After hearing days of testimony, the bankruptcy judge said, in fact, this was not a legitimate bankruptcy filing. And one of the ways they knew that is that the president, the top executive of the NRA, Wayne LaPierre, didn't even check with most of the people in his organization.
The decision means that New York Attorney General Letitia James should have an easier time seizing the NRA's assets if she wins her court case.
We followed the facts of our investigation, which led us to determine that the NRA had wasted charitable resources and violated its legal obligations.
James claims that LaPierre and others so badly mismanaged the group that it should be shut down. Former Westchester County Executive Rob Astorino says he will run for New York governor in 2022. The Republican ran for governor in 2014. Representative Lee Zeldin of Long Island announced last month that he is also seeking the Republican nomination for governor. The family of Andrew Brown Jr. and a member of his family's legal team got a chance to view 18 more minutes of body cam footage in the case at the Pasquotank County Sheriff's Office in North Carolina. Brown, who was black, was shot and killed by sheriff's deputies during an attempt to execute a warrant at Brown's rental home in Elizabeth City. Bakari Sellers is a lawyer for the family.
What we saw on that video was an unjustified killing. What we saw on that video is something that we believe also denotes further investigation and does have some criminal liability.
Sellers says this case is pain for black men and women all across the country. Some New Jersey lawmakers want to charge out-of-state motorists to help blunt the impact of New York's plan to charge an extra toll for entering Midtown Manhattan. They're proposing legislation that would charge out-of-state motorists a sales tax when they cross into New York from New Jersey. The money would go into a fund to reimburse New Jersey motorists paying the extra toll in New York. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. Almost 6:10 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Here's John Stanshauer.
Thanks, Nathan. The Knicks having one Sunday in L.A. over the Clippers. We're out to end the road trip by beating the Lakers in L.A. Got some help when LeBron James decided late in the day not to play. The game had 23 lead changes, including in overtime. Lakers pulled it out. 101-99. Kyle Kuzma led them with 23 points. Julius Randle led the Knicks with 31. Derrick Rose had 27. But R.J. Barrett and Reggie Bullock combined to shoot 4 for 22. The Knicks got out-rebounded by 12. Nets won in Chicago, 115-107. Talk about balance. 8 Nets in double figures, led by Kevin Durant's 21. And James Harden says he may return to the lineup tonight. Make it 6 in a row for the Mets, hosting Baltimore. They failed to score until the 8th inning and then got 2 in the 9th.
2-2 to Mazeika. Swinging and bouncing towards first. Here comes Villar. Mancini up with it. Throws to the plate. Head first slide. He's safe. Put it in the books. Jonathan Villar with a head first slide. Gets in ahead of the tag from Severino. Patrick Mazeika again drives in the game-winning run with what will be a fielder's choice.
CBS, the call. Mets 1-3-2. The rookie Mazeika still never had a major league hit, but twice in 5 days, he hit into a force play that gave the Mets a walk-off win. Quick start for the Yankees at Tampa Bay. Long Aaron Judge home run first inning. Later, Gary Sanchez went yard. The Yanks won 3-1. Rays had only 3 hits off Jordan Montgomery, Jonathan Loaisiga, and Aroldis Chapman. The Yanks have now won 13 of the last 18. The NFL schedule will be announced tonight. A lot of interest in when Tampa Bay plays at New England and Tom Brady makes his return. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports, Nathan.
Oh, to say the least. Thank you, John. S&P futures now down 8.5 points. Dow futures down 63. NASDAQ futures down 54 points. 10-year Treasury is higher by 2/32. The yield now 1.61%. And the yield on the 2-year, 0.15%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg 1130 weather, partly to mostly sunny and upper 60s today. We'll get up to near 70 tomorrow with mostly sunny skies. Mix of sun and clouds for Friday, low 70s to wrap up the week. Right now, 47 in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and U.S. stock index futures are weakening this morning as investors await inflation figures to gauge the risk that price pressures will stifle growth in the world's biggest economy. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 10 points, Dow futures down 67, NASDAQ futures down 66, the DAX in Germany is up 0.3%. 10-year Treasury up 2/32, yield 1.61%, they yield on the 2-year 0.15%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.8% or 55 cents at $65.83 a barrel. COMEX gold little changed at $18.35.80 an ounce. The euro 1.2135 against the dollar. British pound 1.4136 and the yen 108.76. And the consumer price index is at 8:30 Wall Street time. And sources tell Bloomberg industrial software provider Aspen Technology of Massachusetts is exploring options, including a possible sale of a minority stake. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Karen. A defiant speech on Capitol Hill from embattled Congresswoman Liz Cheney just hours before today's expected House GOP vote to oust her as conference chair. Cheney on the House floor said former President Trump provoked a violent attack on the Capitol in an effort to steal the election. Israel unleashed a relentless attack on the Hamas-ruled Gaza Strip after a massive rocket barrage. At least 35 people have been reported killed in Gaza and 5 in Israel. In the NBA, the Lakers prevented the Knicks from clinching a postseason berth with a 101-99 victory. The Nets and Warriors won. The Celtics lost. In Major League Baseball, the Yankees won. The Mets beat the Orioles 3-2. The A's beat the Red Sox 3-2. The Nationals lost. The Giants won. In the NHL, the Capitals beat the Bruins 2-1. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thanks. It's 6:19 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. We turn now to the pandemic as we await a final decision from the Centers for Disease Control, perhaps as soon as today, on clearing the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine for 12 to 15-year-olds. Let's bring in Andy Pekosch this morning, professor of molecular microbiology and immunology at the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health. Professor Pekosch, it's always good to speak with you. Do you expect the CDC to sign off on the FDA clearance, and will it bring us closer to herd immunity?
Yeah, I fully expect that you'll get approvals today from the CDC's Immunizations and Practices Committee. You've seen some states actually already start to enroll children into vaccination programs in anticipation of that approval. The data that was submitted support approving this vaccine. I think what we have to think about is this is an additional part of our population that we can get immunized. This shouldn't take the place of us continuing to put pressure on people to really line up and get the vaccine, because we want our adult population to be immunized just as much as we want our children's population to be immunized. So we shouldn't view this as another path to get to a high level of immunity. We should view this as a way to get to a higher level of immunity, because we're bringing on this new population that we can immunize, and appears immunize effectively and safely.
I think we're seeing evidence of some of that pressure, aren't we, with some of these incentives that are being issued for people who might be holding out from getting the vaccine to get their shots, things like $100 cash payments, a glass of beer, subway tickets, that kind of thing. I mean, what does that say about where we are in the vaccine effort, that we seem to almost need these incentives to get people to roll up their sleeves?
Yeah, I think this speaks to trying to communicate to people and provide the incentive for people to get out there and get the vaccinations. We have to be creative. We certainly saw the wave of adults that came in that were interested in the vaccine initially. We'll see the same thing with children. Parents will be lining up. Children will be asking for the vaccine so they can get some semblance of normalcy back to their lives. But after a few weeks, we'll probably see that wane down a little bit. So anything we can do to motivate people starts with communication and understanding all the good parts of this vaccine. But if there's something else on top of that that can bring people onto line, then I'm all for it. I'm happy to get vaccines at a baseball game if I'm going there.
President Biden, of course, set that threshold of 70% of adults getting at least their first vaccine dose by the 4th of July. That doesn't even count the 12 to 15-year-olds that are expected to start lining up here. I think we heard from the CDC yesterday that they're up to 58% at this point. Do you think 70% is something that's achievable based on the trajectory that we're seeing in the vaccine rollout?
Yeah, I think it is. But it's important to note that I think that's sort of the bottom level that we want to get at. The higher we get, the better off we'll be. We'll see, and we already are seeing, effects of vaccination on reductions in severe disease and hospitalizations and deaths. And the higher we get above that 70, the more impactful that will be on those case numbers. It's an exponential growth, to be technical about it. Getting to 80% will have an even greater effect than getting to 50%. So everything we get on top of this is going to have a really great and much larger benefit than we've seen so far even.
We only have about a minute left here, but I got to ask you about the situation in India. They're now saying that the strain first identified there is in 44 countries, and we still have this holdout situation in the U.S. when it comes to vaccinations. What's the balance that needs to be struck between making sure Americans continue to be vaccinated and getting supplies to where they're really needed elsewhere in the world?
Well, the situation in India and now in Nepal is really important for two things. Number one, it's a human tragedy, right? I mean, the number of cases that are there, the number of deaths that are occurring is nearly unfathomable. But then from the virus's perspective, it's giving this virus an opportunity to evolve, to be selected for, to become better at infecting people and perhaps causing disease. And we're seeing some variants emerging from that population because of that uncontrolled virus replication. And we've seen it with the UK variant that started in the UK and is now the dominant virus here in the US. We could see the same thing with some of the viruses in India coming back to haunt us.
Andy Pekosh, always good to get your insights. Thank you for this. Andy Pekosh is professor of molecular microbiology and immunology at the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health, which is supported by Michael Bloomberg, the founder and majority owner of Bloomberg Radio parent company, Bloomberg LP. S&P futures down 10 points, Dow futures down 73, NASDAQ futures down 60 points. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by the Jewish Communal Fund. JCF's Donor Advised Fund is the smart choice to manage your philanthropy, make your giving organized and tax efficient. Visit jcfny.org.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 991. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour, beginning with the latest on the pipeline shutdown. Colonial Pipeline says it will know by today whether it's safe to restart gasoline and diesel flows. We get the latest live from Bloomberg's Renita Young. Renita.
Karen, fuel shortages are rapidly spreading across the South and the East Coast as leaders work to restore service. But the most recent schedule sent to shippers shows that even when the pipeline is fully restored, it'll take about 2 weeks for gasoline stored in Houston to reach East Coast filling stations, and that's traveling at a speed of about 5 miles per hour. For diesel and jet fuel, it'll take even longer, about 19 days, because they're heavier and more slowly moving. In New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Renita, thanks. We'll soon know the political future of Liz Cheney. Republicans are poised to toss the Wyoming congresswoman from her leadership post today. Cheney spoke from the House floor yesterday, saying loyalists to Donald Trump are undermining democracy.
We must speak the truth. Our election was not stolen, and America has not failed.
Today's vote on Liz Cheney takes place during a private meeting starting at 9 a.m. Wall Street time.
Meantime, in the Middle East, violence between Israel and Hamas is escalating. Israel unleashed an attack on the Gaza Strip in response to a rocket barrage from Hamas. And Bloomberg's Alyssa Odenheimer has the latest from Jerusalem.
Israel's Air Force is striking military targets in Gaza, and we've had massive rocket fire from Gaza militants aimed at Tel Aviv. 200 of the rockets fired from Gaza have hit Gaza itself. So some of the casualties that are being claimed by the Hamas may have been caused by their own rockets.
Bloomberg's Alyssa Odenheimer says it's the most serious fighting since 2014. So far, at least 43 are dead.
And back here in the U.S., the economy and inflation are front and center with the latest reading on the Consumer Price Index due out at 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time. Economists forecast a year-over-year increase of 3.6%. That would be the highest level in 11 years. Bloomberg's Vinnie Del Giudice has more.
Inflation is breaking out. The recovery is stoking demand, sending a variety of prices higher. Bloomberg Economics sees the inflation trend persisting this year, but moderating in 2022. For now, though, it's hot. In March, the Consumer Price Index rose 0.6%, the largest increase in 9 years. Vinnie Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Vinny, thank you. And futures are lower this morning. S&P futures down 9 points. Dow futures down 65. NASDAQ futures down 52. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. This is Bloomberg.
6:33 on Wall Street. Michael Barr has a look at what's going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. A federal judge in Texas has dismissed the National Rifle Association's bankruptcy case. The case was over whether the powerful gun rights group should be allowed to incorporate in Texas instead of New York. New York Attorney General Letitia James argued the bankruptcy filing was an effort by NRA leaders, including CEO Wayne LaPierre, to avoid accountability for using the group's coffers as their piggy bank.
Over the course of the bankruptcy trial, Mr. LaPierre and other senior leaders admitted that the bankruptcy was simply a way of avoiding our enforcement action in New York.
James says the ruling leaves the NRA to face a New York State lawsuit that accuses it of financial abuses. It could be put out of business if James wins the New York case. Former Westchester County Executive Rob Astorino says he will run for New York governor in 2022. The Republican ran for governor in 2014. Representative Lee Zeldin of Long Island announced last month that he is also seeking the Republican nomination for governor. The U.S. elections overhaul effort has hit a major stumbling block. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter reports.
The bill would set nationwide standards, but after hours of debate, it did not make it out of the Senate Rules Committee, blocked by the argument from Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell.
This legislation would let Washington Democrats dictate the terms of their own reelection races.
Chuck Schumer's argument dealt with what he calls the big lie.
And inevitably make it harder for African Americans, Latinos, students, and the working poor to vote.
But now Schumer is faced with whether he wants to bring it to the full floor. Several Democrats have voiced displeasure with it. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
The family of Andrew Brown Jr. and a family lawyer got a chance to view more sheriff body cam footage in the case in New York, in North Carolina. Brown, a black man, was shot and killed by county deputies during an attempt to execute a warrant at Brown's rental home in Elizabeth City. Bakari Sellers is a lawyer for the family.
This is not just another case. This is not just another body. This is somebody who was a father, somebody who was a brother and a nephew. And I think we just have to pause for a moment and realize that.
Attorney Bakari Sellers. More than 100 Republicans are threatening to leave the GOP and form a third party. According to the New York Times, the group, including some former elected officials, plan to release a letter to split from the Republicans if the party does not make certain changes. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thank you. 6:36 on Wall Street. John Stashire is here at the Bloomberg Sports Update.
Nathan, forgive the Knicks. If they got a little greedy, they would have easily signed up for going 3-3 on a very difficult road trip. And having beaten the Clippers in L.A. on Sunday, they were hoping to beat the Lakers in L.A., encouraged that LeBron James did not play, but the Lakers won. 101-99 in overtime. Julius Randle and Derrick Rose kept the Knicks in it with 31 and 27 points. They did not have much help. No one else scored more than 9. Knicks have 3 games left, all at home. One more win assures they won't have to be in that play-in tourney, something the Lakers are trying to avoid in the West. Nets won in Chicago, 115-107, 8 Nets in double figures. Back in Brooklyn tonight to play San Antonio, and James Harden may play his first game in 5 weeks. Could be only the 8th time the Nets will have the big three of Harden, Kevin Durant, and Kyrie Irving playing together. The Yankees were not sure they were going to play their road trip opener at Tampa Bay. Third base coach Phil Nevin and first base coach Reggie Willits both tested positive, so did a staff member, even though all three are fully vaccinated. Everyone else tested negative. The game was played, and the Yanks won 3-1. Jordan Montgomery, Jonathan Loaisiga, and Aroldis Chapman held the Rays to 3 hits. Chapman, 8-for-8 in saves. He's yet to allow a run. The Yanks got solo home runs from Aaron Judge and Gary Sanchez, and they're only 2 games behind the Red Sox. First place Mets made it 6 wins in a row, 3-2 over Baltimore. Rookie Patrick Mazika still doesn't have a major league hit, but now twice in 5 days, he's hit into a force play that has given the Mets a walk-off win. It came in the bottom of the ninth last night. We know Tom Brady is going to make his return to New England with Tampa Bay. Tonight we find out when that game will be played, along with the rest of the NFL schedule. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
All right, John, thank you. 6:37 on Wall Street. Time now to take a look at stocks. Some of the names moving in the pre-market with Bloomberg Stocks reporter Kriti Gupta as the tech-led sell-off shows no sign of slowing. Kriti?
Nathan, another day of tech in the red. Can you believe it? We're waiting for that buy the dip moment. To some extent, we got it yesterday, but maybe that selling is still continuing. You're seeing a lot of repositioning. Let's just look under the hood here. Twitter down 0.7%. Tesla down 0.7%. Even the big tech names, Apple, NVIDIA, down 0.6% or 0.7% respectively. But it's not just big tech. You've got some of those media companies as well. Viacom actually up 1.2% in the pre-market. So you're really seeing, once again, this major diversion divergence here between the big tech names, that safety trade, and then some cyclical exposure that you're seeing in the likes of Discovery and Viacom, for example.
So does that mean that we're seeing that divergence more broadly in cyclicals then?
It's a great question. You're seeing a lot of repositioning, I think is the way to phrase it, especially ahead of that CPI data that you're seeing. Those cyclicals that are most likely to be the immediate trade, should we see some positive kind of growth and inflation numbers come out this morning, you are starting to see a little bit of, like I said, a mixed picture. I mean, you're seeing some of the cyclicals that used to be kind of the go-to plays, airlines, for example, your cruise lines, Carnival Cruise Lines, take your CCL, down 1% in the pre-market. Boeing, airlines like United and American Airlines, all down 0.8%. So that would technically be your usual cyclical play. Not doing so well. That being said, you do have some of the commodity names doing much, much better. So let's just look at some of the energy names here. EOG Resources, ticker EOG, up 1.1% in the pre-market. Occidental up as well, up 1.1%. And then, of course, you have those material stocks doing pretty decently, actually. Newmont, which is, of course, that gold stock. You are seeing that rise in the green. And then the last one I really want to bring to your attention here is Freeport MacMoran. FCX is the ticker. It was actually down 0.8%, and now it's flat on the day. So, you, once again, a lot of repositioning, a lot of movement here in the pre-market.
All right. Bloomberg Stocks reporter Kriti Gupta, thank you for this. Really appreciate it. Let's turn to some other stories we're following this morning. Toyota is roaring back. The world's largest automaker has unveiled a $2.3 billion share buyback, expecting to return to pre-pandemic profits in the current fiscal year. The Japanese automaker has been able to pull ahead of the pack, straightening out its supply chain, ramping up production to meet rising demand. And Germany's Commerzbank posted a surprise profit in the first quarter, upgrading its full-year revenue outlook, a boost for the CEO, Manfred Knopf, after he unveiled a turnaround plan to increase profits for Commerzbank. Revenue soared 35% in the first quarter. The bank profited from strong trading and investment bank conditions. Now taking a look at stocks as a whole, ahead of the Wednesday morning open and that CPI data due out in less than 2 hours now, the sell-off in U.S. equities, at least, continues, with S&P futures down 9, Dow futures down 67, and NASDAQ futures lower by 56 points. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 1130 weather, partly to mostly sunny at upper 60s. Today we'll get up to near 70, mostly sunny for Thursday. Mix of sun and clouds to wrap up the week. Friday high in the low 70s, currently 47 in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Futures lower this morning. We go to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. That's right. U.S. futures are trading in the red right now, with Dow futures down 112 points, S&P's dropped 14, NASDAQ futures declined by 75. The U.S. 10-year yield at 1.61%, gold is down 3, and Japan fell 1.6% overnight. Note that SoftBank's $18 billion profit was a record for a Japanese company. European markets are posting modest gains this morning, and back in the U.S. on the economic front, at 8:30, the Consumer Price Index. Regarding earnings, look for Wendy's and Lumentum to report in the pre-market. And in other news, digital token Internet Computer was launched on Monday and already has a market value above $40 billion, and retail gasoline prices surpassed $3 a gallon for the first time since 2014. Wrapping things up, BigCommerce raised Equate at Morgan Stanley and Dollar General at the sector perform at RBC. Live from the First of Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
Bill, thank you. And to hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg time, squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Karen. House Republicans seem ready to toss Wyoming Congresswoman Liz Cheney from her leadership post. Lawmakers are meeting behind closed doors today and are expected to oust Cheney after her repeated criticism of former President Trump for his false claims of election fraud. Cheney says she will not sit back and watch in silence Republicans, while others lead our party down a path that abandons the rule of law. The U.S. National Track and Field Team has canceled its training planned outside Tokyo for the 2020 Olympics due to pandemic safety concerns for the athletes. In the NBA, the Lakers prevented the Knicks from clinching a postseason berth with a 101-99 victory. The Nets and Warriors won. The Celtics lost. In Major League Baseball, the Yankees won. The Mets beat the Orioles. The A's beat the Red Sox. The Nationals lost. The Giants won. In the NHL, the Capitals beat the Bruins. Global news, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
Will New York's fitness scene stay home? I'm Tara LaChapelle, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. Before the pandemic, fitness studios were booming in New York City. At the end of the workday, young professionals could be seen scurrying out of office buildings with yoga mats or gym bags slung over their shoulders. And many booked their workouts using a ClassPass subscription. ClassPass had just joined the Unicorn Startup Club, and it created a way of life. Until COVID-19 shut everything down. Many gyms went bankrupt and closed permanently. Now that the city is reopening, it's unclear what becomes of gyms. ClassPass has reportedly held merger talks with MindBody, a private equity-backed competitor. And Peloton, the very symbol of quarantine fitness, just recalled its treadmills after safety issues that resulted in the death of a child. Still, the recall probably won't put an end to the home workout trend. Whether people go back to lugging their gym bags around the city may depend on how many are called back into the office and whether they've already shelled out $2,000 for a spin bike. I'm Tara LaChapelle. For more opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPINGO on the Bloomberg terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And you can hear Bloomberg Opinion commentaries every weekday at this time. Terminal customers can read more at OPINGO. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, where it's just about 6:51 on Wall Street. Time now to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in our nation's capital include President Biden preparing to meet with congressional leaders at the White House today to talk infrastructure spending. The White House under growing pressure as gas shortages rise with the Colonial Pipeline shutdown, and a Senate panel deadlocks on a Democratic election reform bill. Also making news, the leadership vote for House Republicans coming up in just a couple of hours that could tighten former President Donald Trump's grip on the GOP. Let's get the very latest live from Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins joining us from the nation's capital. Of course, Emily, this is the vote over removing Liz Cheney from her leadership role, and it looks as though the writing is probably on the wall for the Wyoming congresswoman, is it not?
It is, Nathan. I mean, at this point, to have the House leader of House Republican leader Kevin McCarthy, the number two House Republican Steve Scalise, to both come out against Cheney and support removing her. I mean, that tells you exactly where the direction of the rest of the conference is, and it's all but a guarantee at this point. The question right now is sort of twofold. Number one, in the short term, who will replace her? The most likely candidate right now is Congresswoman Elise Stefanik from New York. She actually has a more moderate voting record than Congresswoman Cheney, but she's been a staunch supporter of former President Trump. She helped defend him at his first and second impeachment hearings and has just sort of been very out in front and vocal as a voice of Trump's supporters. The other, of course, the longer question is what this means for the future of the Republican Party. Republicans will tell you that their main concern with Congresswoman Cheney is not necessarily that she voted to impeach President Trump. They were fine with that back in February, but that she has continued to call him out, and they say that she needs to stay on message and that relitigating the 2020 election is not a winning message. Cheney sort of responded to that last night in a speech on the House floor, where she said that she will not sit back and watch in silence and that they, Republicans, must speak the truth. She has sort of accepted the fact that she will be removed as chair today, and it remains to be seen what her role will be in the Republican Party going forward.
And I know we've been following this as sort of a microcosm of the internal debate going on within the GOP. Does this have any implications for the midterm elections and Republicans' efforts to retake the majority in midterms next year?
Well, for midterms, Republicans are already in a very good spot to wind up taking it in 2022. But of course, that is that question. You know, one thing that we actually heard from Congresswoman Cheney herself is that Republicans lost some support in the suburbs in areas that they used to hold among voters who are college educated. And Cheney's argument is that to regain those voters, the party needs to move away from Trump and sort of put itself back in its conservative values. But look, Nathan, midterms are made by the base of the party. That's who comes out. That's who winds up voting. And the base of the Republican Party right now are Trump supporters. And McCarthy and other Republicans have made this calculation that as long as they keep Trump supporters within the Republican Party, they'll be able to win in 2022. And that's not necessarily so much the case with the more moderate Republicans who are opposed to Trump.
And we're expecting that closed-door leadership vote around 9 a.m. Wall Street time from Capitol Hill. Of course, we'll be following that throughout the day here on Bloomberg Radio. And we'll also, of course, be watching this long-awaited meeting that's going to be happening at the White House later this morning, Emily, with President Biden bringing in congressional leadership to talk about his spending plans.
Yeah, this is going to be the first time that Biden sort of sits down with the big four, if you will, the Democratic and Republican leaders in the House as well as the Senate. And he's going to be talking about the infrastructure plan, looking for a way forward, potential bipartisan opportunity to do something with his infrastructure. But Nathan, I think the other thing that's important here, you know, this is obviously a high profile level meeting. It kind of allows President Biden to say that he's working on bipartisanship on this bill. But you also have to look behind the scenes a little bit, where a number of White House officials have been making hundreds of calls up to Capitol Hill. That includes to Republican members and their staff. You know, tomorrow, President Biden is going to be meeting with a group of six Republicans who aren't, you know, in leadership, aren't the big names, but trying to find a bipartisan compromise. So I think today's meeting is certainly high profile because of who is in it, but I think it's only one piece of a much larger picture of what the Biden administration is trying to do right now to figure out if there are the votes for a bipartisan infrastructure plan.
Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins, thank you as always for keeping us up to speed. And you can read more about all these stories on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal and listen to Bloomberg Radio in Washington, Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. Karen?
Thanks, Nathan. 6:55 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report, brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology. NJIT annually connects more than 1,700 tech-savvy students with the world's top industry employers through co-ops and internships. Learn more at njit.edu/CDS. Now, here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. The nation's largest doctors group has released a comprehensive plan aimed at dismantling structural racism within the U.S. medical establishment. U.S. physicians are overwhelmingly white, and the American Medical Association's membership tends to reflect that. Most of the group's 21 trustees are white, with roughly 270,000 members. The group represents a little more than a quarter of U.S. doctors. The AMA's plan aims to embed anti-racist activities and education at every level of the organization. Colleges and universities across the nation can now start tapping into $36 billion in relief funding that Congress approved in March. The higher education aid is being allocated to public and private institutions using a formula that factors in the share of low-income students they enroll. Colleges must spend at least half of the funding on direct relief for students. The other half can be used on a variety of expenses related to the pandemic. And the ratings are in for Elon Musk's Saturday Night Live appearance. Last week's show, which the Tesla CEO hosted, averaged 7.3 million viewers. That makes it SNL's third most watched episode for the season. That's the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report. S&P futures down about 18 points this morning. Dow futures down 133. NASDAQ futures down 89. 10-year Treasury up 3/32, yield 1.61%. Bloomberg Surveillance is straight ahead with Tom Keene, Jonathan Farrow, and Lisa Abramowitz. For Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moskow, and this is Bloomberg.